Our loving Father, again, as we come into your house, Lord, I just pray that we give you the reverence that you deserve. We come here to thank you for your loving goodness to each one of us. We love you as a Father, and we know you love us as your children. And this morning, Lord, I pray for your presence. And I pray, Lord, that each one might be touched this morning. Help us all, Lord, to realize the times in which we are living. And I pray, Lord, that each one will be blessed this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Oh, these lights are bright. I don't know if I can handle this. You might have to dim them down, brother. Ooh. Well, I'm here to speak to you, not as a preacher, but as a brother to his family. I just want to share a few things with you, and I hope that everything goes well. I was asked to take the service today, and I was more than happy. You know, I love this. One of my favorite things is talking about Jesus and talking about his ways. I just love it. It's one of my favorite topics. The other topic I love is health. Yeah, I love that too. But this is my first. I love talking about God and his word. My talk is going to be taken from Zechariah chapter 3. Let's begin with the first verse. It says, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? Okay, here we have Joshua, representative of God's people, right? He's standing before the Lord. Now, Joshua don't have a defense, does he? He's just standing there in shame because Joshua is a sinner. He's a high priest. He's a holy man, but yet he's a sinner. And he's standing before the Lord in shame. But notice there's someone else also that's standing there with him. Who is it? Satan. What is he trying to do? He wants to claim Joshua, right? He wants to tell Jesus just how bad Joshua maybe is or whatever. But Joshua's standing there, he's not even opening his mouth. He's not defending himself, kind of like Jesus, huh? And Satan is there to accuse him. But notice how the Lord puts an end to Satan right away, huh? The Lord rebuke you, Satan. In other words, hold your tongue, brother. I got all to say here. Joshua is a representative of God's people. This is how we are. And what's happening to Joshua is that he's come before the Lord. He's humbled himself when he came to the Lord. He didn't come in a proud manner or anything else. He knows he's a sinner and he needs help. So he's standing before the Lord, and the Lord is going to do something for Joshua. Now, you notice the next verse, it says, Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you. Now here the Lord's looking at Joshua. Like I said, he's sinful. And these filthy rags represents his sins. But God don't say nothing to him. Just says to him, take off the angels. Take off that filthy garments. I got a better outfit for Joshua. Put something better on him. What do you think them garments are that Christ put on Joshua? His righteousness, huh? Yes, what he's doing with Joshua at that point, he's purifying Joshua. Nothing that Joshua's doing, the Lord is doing it all. The only thing Joshua had to do was come and stand there and accept what the Lord was ready to do for him. Just let the ball roll. Let the Lord do his thing. And, you know, this thing what's going on right now, what do we know it today as? What is it called? Starts with a J. Justification, right? Justification. Joshua's being justified by the Lord, not because of anything he did. Well, he had to do something. He had to come, right? So he had a part. He had to come. Would he have been justified if he had not come to the Lord? No. No, not at all. So when you hear people say, well, you don't have to do nothing. The Lord will do it all. Not so. We have to come to the Lord and be willing to receive that justification. We have to want it. And then God says, hey, I'll take away them filthy rags. I'll take away every sin. Don't feel bad, regardless of what you did. I can take it away. I can wash it away. I'll make you clean. And I'll move you on in life. But you know one thing? When God justifies us, when he purifies us, he accepts us. And every one of us have been baptized into Christ. I'm sure everyone's sitting here. There might be a few that has not yet. But I hope you're thinking about it. But when you're justified by Christ, he does not want to leave you there in that state, does he? He does not. And a lot of people, when they read this chapter, they stop right there. They don't want to go no further. But notice what the Lord says in the next verse, in 6. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua after he justified, made him clean. He's walking perfect now. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. Here's a promise that God has given to Joshua. But he's also throwing out a condition, isn't he? There's a condition with that promise. Every promise of God, there's a condition that goes with it. He says, if you will walk in my ways, follow my requirements, what will he do to Joshua? He's going to do great things for Joshua, right? He said, you're going to govern my house. You have to judge my people. You'll do great things. Not only that, but he said, you'll have a place with these here standing. Who you think is standing there? Holy angels, right? What do you find holy angels? In the heavenly kingdom, right? That's where Joshua's going to wind up being. Now, Joshua is a stick, or sometimes they use the word branch, that's plucked out the fire. Aren't we all branches plucked out the fire? Sure are, right? Every story you read in the Bible, from Noah all on down, they're all branches plucked out the fire. All have a purpose, right? What about we as Adventists? Have we been plucked out the fire? You bet we have. I think back to Israel in the days of Egypt, when they were in Egypt. You remember the calamity they were facing? What were they being beaten down to make bricks, more bricks, huh? They were in slavery, they're in bondage. Did they deserve to be there? Yes. Yeah, they deserve to be there, you bet. You bet. Why? They did not follow their Lord. They got off track. And so what they wound up doing is wound up in bondage. But this is the Lord now, brothers and sisters. This is how loving and good that God is and merciful. He did not take them out of bondage because they deserved to be taken out, but he heard their cries, their prayers, their suffering. He felt their pain. And because they were his children, he pulled them out of bondage. He said, I'll get them out. But notice, when he took them out of Egypt, sent a prophet there to lead them, huh? Right? Moses? Moses was going to lead them. They got out of bondage. They left Egypt. Many things happened. You remember the Red Sea? He did miracles. God was trying to prove to them, hey, you can trust me. Whatever I tell you, just do it. Do it. You're afraid? Don't worry about it. Do it. It's going to turn out. They got to the Red Sea. First thing they started thinking about themselves, huh? Oh, shouldn't have left Egypt. Now we're going to all be killed. Sound familiar? Yeah. We all face those crises. But God parted the sea, and they went through. What a miracle, huh? That's a miracle enough to keep you convinced for the rest of your life wouldn't it? I don't think it was very long after they got away from the sea. The Bible says they start murmuring and complaining about everything. Oh, look at this, look at that. Being the God that he is, he's patient, he's kind. He endured, long-suffering, put up with him. You know, some people think that God reacted right away. The minute the Egyptians started giving a little problem, God stepped in there and started to annihilate one by one the rebels and all that. Not so. God is very patient, brother. He goes a long, long time. He endures because he loves us so much. And he's just hoping this guy will see the light and he will make an about face and I can protect him. But I can't make him do it. He's got to make that choice. But notice another thing that God did with the Israelites. And the reason I'm telling you this story, because the Adventist has a similar experience as the Israelites. The best way to understand the plan of salvation, study the story in Exodus from Egypt to Canaan. You'll understand the plan of salvation. But the next thing that God did for the Israelites was he changed their way of living, the way they eat. What did he give them? Manna. Where did it come from? Heaven. Was it good for them? Yes. Did they like it? No. I don't want to eat these grits. I'm sick of grits. Well, maybe we'll throw an egg on your grits and you'll enjoy it better. But nothing. They couldn't enjoy it. God didn't do that because he wanted to deprive them of their leeks and onions and the flesh pots of Egypt. He had a purpose. God was trying to take them to the promised land, which they could have went right straight through the desert and went to the promised land. But because of their foolishness and not wanting to listen to God, they had a problem. There was a problem. So God was trying to take away that perverted appetite that they had acquired in Egypt and give them some good food that will clear their mind so they could understand the way that God was leading them. You know what I'm saying? The body has an effect on the mind. If you mess up the body, you're going to mess up the mind. And their stomachs, that's all they thought about was their stomach. So God said, I got to do something about them. I got to change their food. Give them something good. Clear that mind so they can think straight. Well, it got to the point where God wanted to take them out. Get rid of them. You remember that? Yeah. Sick of these people already. You know, and what did Moses do? The man that Moses was, you know, a representative of Jesus Christ. Oh, no, please, God, don't destroy them. Destroy me. God said, no, I'll create another people through you. One that maybe will listen. But Moses said, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Bear with them longer. But here they wandered. Very short distance from Egypt to the promised land. And here they are, 40 years going around in circles. Not learning. Not gaining nothing. If it wasn't one thing, it was another. If it wasn't the food, then it was their idolatrous practices, you know, looking at the other women from the other nations. God's intention was always to reach the other nations through the Israelites, right, to save them, but not to become like them. Not to become like them. He wanted them to take them and make them become like them. Because you remember all through that experience, God said, if the foreigner comes and wants to join you, take him in only if he follows your ways, which is my way. If he will do that, you take him in as a brother and a sister, just like an Israelite himself. But what happened to them? No. He wanted to go out, play around, get involved, and started becoming like him. Problems. But anyhow, make a short story, a long story short, he eventually got in to the promised land. And even there, there was problems. Well, I'd like to go back now and look at the Adventists. Take a look. See the similarities. Adventists, bunch of denominations, world darkness. They had light coming through. People were getting new light and adapting to it. But here was a people, after that great disappointment in 1844, that God snatched out of fire, a people, a group of people, pulled them out. Also had visions, prophetess, to lead, help lead. Notice one of the first things that God did with the Adventist people after they were formed. What did he give them? Not manna. Not this time. But something very close, huh? It's called health reform. You heard of that, haven't you? Of course. Yeah, these Adventist people, they're weird people, you know. Eating them tofu burgers and all that other stuff, right? Yeah. Well, God gave us that message. That was a gift to you and I, that we might practice a lifestyle that will help us in our spiritual journey with Christ. When we don't watch ourselves and we take in anything that we want, and maybe just because it tastes so good, that don't mean it is good, right? All the bad things taste really good, huh? Yeah, they do. I remember my mama used to fry some pork chops, and I loved them. They were greasy, but they were tasty. Yeah, you know it. But it's not good. I didn't know. But God knows what's good for us, huh? And if we just follow the counsel that he's given us, we'd do all right. We'd do all right. Now, you know that while the Israelites was in the desert, that was their preparation for Canaan, right? They were being prepared to go into Canaan. Well, what about the Adventists? Right now, today, brother, we are in the desert, being prepared for the heavenly Canaan, huh? The next step for us is that heavenly home, right? Sure. It's the heavenly kingdom. We can relate so much if we just study how God led his people. You know, and sometimes because we're Adventists, that's just who we are. We can't help it. But people complain about, well, you have so many, you guys believe in so many rules and regulations. And, I want to be free from that. I tell them, how would you like to live in the days of the Israelites when God was in charge? He ruled. He made the rules. He judged the people. And he issued out the execution. How would you have to live in them days? You ever read the book of Leviticus? Deuteronomy? No. Do you ever study those rules? How would you like to live with them? Now, you're under God's jurisdiction. And you had to be cast out. Every rule that God has laid forth for you and I is for our own good, is for our protection, only because he loves us as his children. How could he not lay down a plan, some guidelines for us to live by? Wouldn't he be a terrible father if he didn't? Sure. I mean, everybody that's a parent, they know that. Nobody has to be told. Now, who am I? I want to tell you a little bit about who I am. God plucked me out. I'm one of them branches, one of them sticks. Now, I'm not saying that in an exalted way. Don't get me wrong. I'm no more special than anybody else. But I can remember when I was back home and I saw a sign and it said, Uncle Sam needs you. I thought, this guy's pointing at me. I hope he's got something better to offer than Lafayette has, because they haven't given me nothing. I come from Lafayette, Louisiana. We are a culture of people. If you don't understand me too well, it's because I'm speaking in tongues. get yourself an interpreter. but anyhow, little did I know at that time, God was plucking me out of the fire. But what God had to do was take me and place me in a position where he could reach me. In other words, God was going to use some help to reach me. But he had to get me out of that environment. And so many times, you know, we don't want to get out of our environment. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone because we like it there. We like the friends. We like the family. But I had to be moved out because God would never have most of all been able to reach me where I was. So he took me out. And I met somebody while I was, went on for about 3.5 years, but I met somebody that was a little bit special to me, you know, and started getting serious. But anyhow, I was introduced to Adventism. Yeah, Bible studies, which I never thought that would ever happen. I was not no studying kind. I didn't know nothing about Adventism, and it was those words were too big. I couldn't even remember what she told me she belonged to. But anyhow, when I tried to pass this on to friends of mine, well, I was aboard a ship at that time, they said, oh, don't get hooked up with those holy rollers. I said, what? He said, oh, brother, he said, you don't want to get messed up with those people. He said, they're crazy. Made me think. I asked my wife, is Adventist holy rollers? We always thought of people, you know, throwing themselves all over the aisle and all that. I'm a Catholic, you know, we was very conservative. But anyhow, I was guaranteed, no, that's not like it is. But you know what? When the two old ladies that came to give us Bible studies began to show me in the Bible all these new truths, I couldn't believe it. I was very disappointed in my mother, who'd been a lifelong Catholic. And I said, how could she not see this? How could she not see these things in the Bible? And then, you know, one of the old ladies said, well, do you believe the Bible over anything else? I said, oh, yeah. I said, I knew I had enough sense to know that was the word of God, right? She said, what about the Pope? I said, who cares? I said, is he over God? No. I said, I believe whatever you show me, if you show me. And boy, when I learned these things, I just got on fire. I wanted to tell everybody. Amen. And I didn't care. I just told them. You offended? Too bad. Because I'm going to tell you anyhow. So they start dodging you when they see you. The grace of God hadn't come in yet. It was only the knowledge of God. But I was ready to spew it out. But I had issues. This is for all the new believers. We've had a lot of new believers baptized in the last year, right? I could ask for a show of hands, and I bet you there's a whole lot of them in here. Well, this is for you, what I'm telling you. No matter how things get in your life, stick with the Lord. Stick with the Lord. I can remember, brother, I had every bad habit you could think of. Drinking, smoking. Love to dance. I never thought I'd ever give up dance. I loved it. I loved music. I loved to play music. I sang in rock and roll bands and stuff like this. Loved all this stuff. But brother, because of the Lord, I said, this is not the way the Lord wants me to live. I know that. I'm reaching for holiness. Holiness. Some of us are trying to get into heaven without holiness. We want a redeemer without repentance. Can't, it don't happen. So anyhow, my biggest problem was smoking. struggling with smoking. I remember one time my wife came and told me, oh, this was a good story. She said, I'm going to the store. I'll be back shortly. Oh, yeah, okay, go ahead. I had told my wife already, I promised to quit smoking. I was going to quit smoking. So she, you know, she had a lot of patience. She said, okay, I'm going to the store. I'll be back later. So the minute I heard that car leave the garage, I got the urge to smoke. Wasn't me. Something came over me. But I got them, I tied my cigarette. So I got the cigarettes hot. But I lit up this cigarette and I can remember, and I'm going to get the clippers. I'm going to go clip around the fence in the backyard, you know, trim. I was down there just enjoying that cigarette and clipping the grass, you know, like the world is beautiful. And and I never heard, but all of a sudden, while I was down there, I just felt some heat on the back of my neck. And I knew the weather wasn't bad. The sun wasn't terribly hot. But I happened to look with a mouth full of smoke. I looked up, and there my wife was looking over the fence. Oh, brother. I felt like a sinner before the judgment seat without a savior. Felt very, very bad. I felt so disappointed in myself that I let my wife down, you know, and here she had to witness it with her own eyes. Not somebody told her, hey, you know Nolan's still smoking? No, she had to see it. And I felt bad. But one day, you know, I was working in San Diego and I was struggling with this problem. And I said, I'm going to pray. And I prayed, I'll never forget, I prayed. I said, Jesus, you got to deliver me from this, because I knew right there in that point, it's either going to be Jesus or it's going to be these smokes, but not both of them. I can't. It was killing me. It was worse than cancer. It was killing me because I had made a commitment to God, and these things I knew was bad that I had to get rid of if I would continue to grow in Christ. And you know what? The Lord took it like that. Like that. So you can't tell me that there's no deliverance from God. You have to make the first step and want it. If you don't desire it, guess what? It ain't going to happen. You can pray all you want. You can pray all you want. If it's not in the heart to do, your prayer ain't going to go hide in that ceiling right here and fall right back on your head, because there's no purpose in it. We got to want it. We got to want it. And we as Adventists, brother, we're to live a life that represents God. And God is holy. He don't want nothing in our lives to look any different than that. If you're going to live for God, live for God. But there's victory in everything that you are enslaved to. A lot of people think that they're not enslaved. But if you have to wake up in the morning and have to have a smoke, you're in slavery. If you have to have a drink of this, you're in slavery. You want to be enslaved to God and his righteousness. That's what he calls us to be. Be bond in bondage to that, not to this other stuff. And another thing I'm going to tell you what happened. My spiritual experience, brother, started zooming up here. Yes. If God can't get you over this hurdle, how can he give you another hurdle? You know, people, well, I'm praying for some light. Brother, you're not even jumped this one hurdle. How's he going to give you some more light? You got to get over that one. Let me share with you something. Out of the book, In Heavenly Places, that was the first book given to me as an Adventist by these two dear, sweet ladies that gave me Bible study. And you know what? I didn't open that book for I don't know how long. When I first became an Adventist. I was too busy watching my watch. Ooh, when is these hours going to end so I can go do something good on the Sabbath? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yes, yes. Or, oh, no, Sabbath again. No, I can't watch no TV. You know, I remember my father-in-law used to every Sabbath morning, we lived with my father-in-law and mother-in-law when we first got married, me and my wife. And every Sabbath morning, he'd get on that piano. I think the Lord was using him. Ping, ping, ping. He started playing him hymns. You know, power in the blood. And every now and then he'd come by the bedroom. You almost ready? Oh, and I'd put my head under the covers. I just wanted to sleep more. I didn't want to get up and go. But he'd finally get us up and we'd go. But let me share with you this. It's not easy. Don't get me wrong. But if we stick with the Lord, guess what, brother? It's going to become easier and easier. And it's going to become so joyous that you have served the Lord. It says here, and this is entitled A Battle for the Spiritual Mind. For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Romans 8, 6, and 7. Now here we go on. The natural mind leans toward pleasure and self-gratification. It is Satan's policy, it's his policy, the devil, to manufacture an abundance of this. He seeks to fill the minds of men with a desire for worldly amusements that they have no time to ask themselves the question, how is it with my soul? How am I doing in my spirituality? The love of pleasure is infectious. Given up to this, the mind hurries from one point to another, ever seeking for some amusement. Obedience to the law of God counteracts this inclination and builds barriers against ungodliness. Today, brother, we live in a world that is nothing but amusements, entertainment, and nothing but distractions from God. Raise your hand if you oppose what I'm saying. Oh, we got some, yeah. They love their amusement. Hey, brother, it has taken over this world. If it's not through the TV, it's through the internet. It's everywhere you look. It's about us having a good time, huh? But I'm going to tell you something right now. Tell you something right now. A child of God can have more fun walking in the woods than the devil can at a rock concert. I'll tell you that right now. Yes, try him. You'll find out. But these amusements, all they do is distract us from our relationship with Christ. Because how much time do you give the world and give Christ nothing? And then you wonder, Lord, I can't do it. Oh, I'm. You know my heart. Yeah. You won't say that too often because God can read the heart and the intents of the heart. But we don't have time to spend with God. That's why we're not growing. That's why we don't get nowhere. That's why there's no victories. And we wind up failing in our homes with our children, with our wives, with our husbands. A Christian can only have happiness and peace and contentment if he's tied in with the Lord in everything he does. You can't just be a Christian at church. I can make you guys think I'm Donald Trump for 2 hours. You'd be standing at the door looking for some loans or something, you know, some give me's. But can I do it for 24 hours of the day? Can everybody be convinced that I'm a child of God? When I work, when I'm at home with my family, you know, bring up that home business. That's the hardest place to be a Christian, is in the home, huh? The devil, boy, he is. He really works in the home. Everybody sees you as a father, and you can't make no mistakes. Don't start slipping in the house, because you'll be reminded who you are, right? Yes. But this amusement, brother, is taking over the world. It's taking over the God's people. That's what happened to the Israelites. They were taken over by the world. God pulled them out of that. And yet they were clamoring to get back to it. We as Adventists, brother, we need to be very, very careful. It says the ability to enjoy the riches of glory will be developed in proportion to the desire we have for these riches. How shall an appreciation of God and heavenly things be developed unless it is in this life? Right now, brother, we are either planning to dwell with heavenly beings in heaven or not. There are things that won't be in heaven. And if they're not going to be in heaven, why try to enjoy them here? They're going to vanish. They're gone. Take your nicest car you have. I don't care what it is. Maybe a Mercedes. I don't care what it is. Guess what? You ain't taking it to heaven. We ain't gonna be watching no favorite TV programs either. You know, like we get so caught up into. You know, there's not something wrong with everything. It's only when it interferes with your relationship to God. Huh? Is there anything wrong with sports, football? If you want to play some football, play football. But when we get so engrossed to where we spend a whole weekend in the front of that tube and like, honey, get them kids out of here. And the wife comes there, here, read some of this to your kids. Put that down, I'm in the middle of something. No, that's where the problem lies. We get sidetracked and we don't even realize it. It's so subtle we can't even grasp what's happening to us. You ever look at the statistics of Christian study? Even with the ministers, the few minutes a day that they're spending in prayer and study, brother, that's terrible. No wonder we're crippled as we are. If we was living up to the light that we should be living up to, we'd be, you know what we'd be suffering right now? Persecution. Everybody would be on our backs. Let me turn over here. You can never enter heaven unless you enjoy the communion of God here below. For this is our fitting up place for heaven. God should be the object of the soul's highest reverence, love, and fear. Those who do not love to retain God in their thoughts in this world, those who consider it irksome to be in subjection to God in this life, will never have enjoyment with Christ in the future life. Hard words, huh? The very things they choose and love here, in self-pleasing or educating their taste so that the heavenly discipline will be a restraint, let your soul be brought under the discipline of God. Right now, today, me and you and I, as Adventist Christians, we should be solely living for God. Everything should be about God. If God is not a part of it, what's the sense? What's the sense? What is our purpose here? God has a purpose for me. He has a purpose for you, right? Each one. And the thing is, I can speak from my own experience. Because I know me, but I can't speak for any of you guys out there. But I know what God has done for me. At one time when God first brought me to know the truth, if somebody would have said, one of these days, you know what? You're going to teach a class. I would have said, get out of here. Never. No way. But when you subject yourself to Christ and you surrender, it's amazing what God will do with you. He will get to a point where you won't even say no when he calls. You'll feel guilty. No, Lord, I got to do it, huh? God is looking, brother and sisters, to make us fit for heaven. We're going to dwell with holy beings. There won't be no swearing there. No vulgarity. No unfaithfulness to one another. Heaven is a place of love. That's why we got the Ten Commandments. That's what the Ten Commandments is all about. Loving one another, loving God supremely. And if you don't learn how to love God, you cannot learn your brothers and sisters. You'll never love your fellow beings. Impossible. And I'm going to tell you another thing. If you don't learn to fall in love with Jesus, you will never obey him either. Impossible. You can do more, brother, when love is the motivator than anything else. Don't try it in your own strength. It ain't going to happen. But fall in love with Jesus. Study Jesus. Fall in love with him. Let your soul be absorbed in meditating upon the glorious truths contained in the Word of God, and you will have no constant craving for something which you have not. Everybody wants everything, huh? Oh, there's a new iPhone. I got to have that. I got an iPhone the other day. But you know, I found it while I was working, and it was damaged. But I settled for it. It's only a 3GS. I don't know if you know about that. But I took it and I said, well, maybe I can put this dead bird together. And, you know, I kind of like it. It's very simple. You know, I don't like to get too much in electronics, but that's the kind of iPhone I got. It was a gimme. You know, like I said, I found it was like in the trash. If you want to, you know, they were going to throw it away. So I took it and I used it. But I mean, you know, we just keep on. Oh, I got to get a fast computer. Oh, I got to get this. I got to get that. It never stops. They got us hooked, huh? They got us hooked. I got to get it. But you never hear, I got to get a new Bible. Mine is worn out. When was the last time you heard that? No, you don't hear that. No, brothers and sisters. Yes. Let your soul be absorbed, and meditate upon God while we're here. Because when we go to heaven, guess what? It's going to be all about Jesus, huh? It's going to be all about Jesus. That's all you're going to want to talk about. And it should be now. It should be happening now. When somebody starts bringing up spiritual things, don't start rolling your eyes. You ever try talking to somebody spiritual? That's the time to shut down. Say, hey, can I share something with you? Yeah, I hope it's a good joke. No, it's not a good joke. But it's something very serious, life and death. You ever met Jesus? Oh, not one of these again. And they don't want to listen. But you know what, brother? If we live for Jesus, a lot of people will listen to you. They might not agree with you, but they're going to like what they see in you. They're going to respect what they see in you. They're going to know this is a person that lives by principle. Even if they don't even believe in God. That's what God will do for you and I. By contemplating the lofty ideal he has placed before you, you will be uplifted into a pure and holy atmosphere, even the presence of God. When you abide here, there goes forth from you a light which irradiates all who are connected with you. No matter what we do here on this earth, brother, sisters, bad or good, it's going to affect somebody, not only you. Everybody around you in your sphere is going to be affected. So before you do choose to do anything, think about that. Think about the stumbling block that the Bible speaks of. And many times our lives are stumbling blocks. We're not bringing nobody to Christ. Not because we don't know what to say. We're not doing what we say. We're not following God and what he has given us. Don't be worried about being different. I want to be different. Anybody can be like them plain Janes, but it takes a special person to be different. That's why God said, my people are peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. That's for a reason. He wants you to be proud of who you are. Don't walk in no shame. You ain't got nothing to be shameful of. You belong to the king of this earth. This is part of yours, right? You're an heir according to the promise. All this is ours. But all of it that we have here that's left of this earth, you know, it's going to be destroyed. It's going to be gone. So don't get caught up into it. That's all I'm saying. Don't get caught up into this world. Take life simple. Make it as simple as possible. I tell my wife, let's not buy no more stuff. We're just buying it, for the bonfire. It's going to get burned up. Even that nasty money you got, it's going to be burned up. So let's not spend no money on that. Well, what are you going to spend money on? Spend it on the gospel. Spend it on Jesus. Huh? But anyhow, brothers and sisters, I hope My talk this morning was to encourage you. If you're going through trials, don't let it get you down. If you stick with Jesus, he will get you through. And I don't care what trials you have to go through. Sometimes Jesus has to bring us through some trials because we're hard-headed. We don't get the picture. But at the end, you're going to look back and you're going to say, boy, thank Jesus for that trial, huh? You know, my happiest times in the Lord was when I was down and low. That's when I found myself the closest to Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. It's when we get so high and mighty. We have everything, you know. Oh, I got a good paycheck. I got this. I got that. Is where we get relaxed. And we tend to depend upon God. And that's where we get in trouble. Always depend upon Jesus. But my last word to you this morning is that we, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, God has a purpose for each one of us to fulfill. And we're to represent the character of God to the world. There's a dying world out there. Let people, when they meet you, know. Let them see Christ in you, the hope of glory, and maybe have a desire to want to know him better, and through you will make an effort to know him better. Let us pray. Loving Father, again, thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you so much, Father, for this opportunity to share the things that I have shared this morning. I just pray that many will be blessed, that we might each one of us open our eyes to the things that we say and do, how we act, Lord. I know a lot of people don't think it matters what we do, what we say, but it does matter to you. Every time a wrong act is committed, Lord, it's dishonoring your holy name. And I just pray that each one of us, Lord, will gain victories, that we will be more like Christ, and may those we come in contact be blessed by our presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.